tonight, 2 Kings chapter 18. About a month ago, the pastor pulled me aside and said, "Would you like to teach in a month?" And so I said yes. And things got busy. But as I was perusing through the Bible, kind of looking at for something to teach on, and I came across this a while back, the story of Hezekiah, and I thought it was very interesting. And what piqued my attention was what we find in verse 5. And thus, the study of King Hezekiah, the most faithful king of Judah. So if we read 2 Kings 18, verse 5, this is what the author of 2 Kings says about King Hezekiah. "He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor who were there before him." So when it comes to all the kings of Judah, the writer of 2 Kings says there was no king before or after that trusted in the Lord the way that Hezekiah did. And it kind of struck me as funny as is, that's an amazing thing to say about somebody. What an awesome thing to have. As somebody sums up your life, he trusted in the Lord so much so that there's nobody has been before him has been trusting the Lord as much as he did, or nobody has ever since. So that's what started out the base of this study. But so what we're going to do is take a look at King Hezekiah, his life, and pull out some stuff we can learn from him about the Bible, and see what he did to earn this title, and how he did it, and we're going to briefly look at what his mindset was, very briefly, that led to, again, the fact that he trusted in the Lord, so that there was after him there was none like him among all the kings of Judah. So, please follow along as I read 2 Kings 18, 1 through 8. "Now it came to pass in the third year of Hosea, the son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king. He reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father had done. He removed the high places and broke the sacred pillars, cut down the wooden images, broken pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made, for unto those days the children of Israel burnt incense to it and called it Nehushtan. Verse 5, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor who were before him. He held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but he kept his commandments which the Lord had commanded Moses. The Lord was with him. He prospered wherever he went, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. He subdued the Philistines as far as Gaza and his territory, from the watchtower to the fortified city." So this is a summarization of King Hezekiah's rule and reign and his life, and I would say it's a very good one. There'd be a lot worse things said about somebody as they summarize your life. Again, as I mentioned, is the phrase in verse 5 that caught my attention. And so let's take a look at who King Hezekiah is. King Hezekiah was a king of Judah. We see this in verse 2. He was 25 years old and he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. He reigned in Jerusalem for 29 years, starting at the age of 25. So he was a young man when he became king. His mother's name was Abi or Abijah. His father was the king prior to him, who was Ahaz, the king of Judah. Now, without going into it, I want to make a point of this is Ahaz was considered a bad king. When you read about these kings in 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles, they were considered good or bad based on what they did. Either good was they did right in the sight of the Lord, or they did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord. So Hezekiah's father, who was a king in Judah before him, was considered a bad king because he did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord. Now, I wanted to notice that he's a king of Judah and not a king of the entire nation of Israel. At this time in history, Judah and Israel have been split apart, are two separate kingdoms. The kingdom of Israel is ruled under a different king. And Judah and Israel at this time in history have been separated for 254 years. The entire nation of Israel was united under the first three kings, Saul, David, and Solomon. And it was after Solomon's death that his son experienced the civil war. And now we have the 10 northern tribes, which is considered Israel, and the two southern tribes, which is Judah and Benjamin, is considered the kingdom of Judah. We see that Hezekiah, from our first 8 verses, was considered a good king. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And lastly, so he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. We also see from the first 8 verses, it is said of him that he trusted in the Lord God of Israel. Well, let me back up to what he did was right in the sight of the Lord. This qualification, or considered good or bad, of the 19 kings of the nation or the kingdom of Israel, all 19 are considered bad. In the kingdom of Judah, of the 20 kings of Judah, only 8 are considered good by doing what was right in the sight of the Lord. And of those 8, 3 of them have the added distinction of being called doing what was right in the sight of the Lord according to his father David. So King David would be in the standard. Only 3 of the righteous kings of Judah actually were up to the righteous standard that David set forth in his kingdom. So here we have Hezekiah, he's considered a good king because he did what was right in front of the Lord. And he earned, he was up to the standard of King David. We see that he trusted in the Lord God of Israel. We also saw that he held fast to the Lord. This word, the phrase "he held fast," is all one word in the Hebrew, and it means to cling, to stick. I'll read the entire thing because I think it gets the point across here. To cling, stick, stay close, cleave, keep close, stick to, stick with. follow closely, join to, overtake, and catch. Another definition, another comment, I found another definition said, fastens oneself to an object. So we know that Hezekiah held fast, he clung to the Lord. This is what was commanded in the law in Deuteronomy 10:20. It says, "You shall fear the Lord your God, you shall serve him, and to him you shall hold fast and take oaths in his name." So no one in obeying his commandments, King Hezekiah was following the law. Another thing that is said about him in his life summary. Oh, look at that. There we go. He did not depart. Again, in the Hebrew, the word depart means to turn aside or change direction from a course or a path. So we see that Hezekiah held fast to the Lord. He clung to, he fastened himself to the Lord, and he did not turn aside or change direction. He clung to, he pursued after, and he did not change his focus throughout his entire life. The last thing that says about him in his summary statement here, he kept his commandments. King Hezekiah kept the Lord's commandments. Kept means to cause a state or a condition to remain. So he kept the Lord's commandments and he kept on keeping them. He kept them on throughout his entire life. Not a bad summary statement of one's life. So what else can we learn about Hezekiah that's recorded for us in the Bible? First of all, he knew the law. And to see this, please turn in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Now, understanding that King Hezekiah's father was a bad king and served idols and led the nation to serve idols. So in light of that background, let's read what Hezekiah did in 2 Chronicles 29, verse 1. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Then he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them in the east square and said to them, "Hear me, Levites, now sanctify yourselves. Sanctify the house of the Lord our God, our fathers, and carry out the rubbish from this holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done evil in the eyes of the Lord our God. They have forsaken him. They have turned their faces away from the dwelling place of the Lord and turned their backs on him." Skip down to verse 8. "Therefore the wrath of the Lord fell upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he has given them to trouble, to desolation, to jeering, as you see with your eyes. For indeed, because of this, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity." So we see that Hezekiah knew the law, and he knew the consequences. What stands out to me is this is immediately after he became king. He went up and opened up the doors and cleaned up the temple. We can also learn from studying his life story that Hezekiah was a praying man. He was a man of prayer. Hezekiah's prayer life showed us that he prayed throughout his life. He prayed to God on behalf of the people that had unknowingly transgressed the law at Passover. He prayed when other nations were threatening Jerusalem. And he prayed for himself when he was suffering from a fatal illness. If you look at 2 Chronicles 30, chapter 30, verse 18, the setup on this is that Hezekiah reinstated temple worship, and he started the Passover, and he invited people from all over Judah and all over the kingdom of Israel. Well, because they didn't know the law, they were actually, as they were partaking in Passover, they were trespassing the law, and some of them became sick. So Hezekiah prays for them. 2 Chronicles 30, 18 through 20. For the multitude of people, many from the northern tribes, had not cleansed themselves when they ate the Passover, contrary to what was written. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, May the good God provide atonement for everyone who prepares his heart to seek God, the Lord God of our fathers, though he is not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. And the Lord listened to Hezekiah and healed the people. So apparently these people were partaking of the Passover and unknowingly transgressed the law, and because of it they were ill. Hezekiah prayed on their behalf and the Lord healed them. Another time Hezekiah prayed is when Jerusalem was surrounded by this Syrian army. You don't have to turn there, but in Isaiah 37, it is recorded for us. In verses 8 through 20, Hezekiah's prayer when he was challenged by the Syrians. The Syrians had three messengers, three high-ranking officials that came up to the wall at Jerusalem and basically threatened, bragged, and promised that if Jerusalem surrendered, that they would get, instead of being starving to death, the Syrians would move them to a different land and give them their own food, and they'd have water to drink. And when that didn't work, they threatened them and even belittled the people of Jerusalem. And if you read the account, the high officials that were actually talking to three high officials from Jerusalem outside the wall, and But basically, the Syrian officials were speaking in Hebrew, and the Hebrew officials asked them to speak in a different language, the official language, the political language. And the Syrians said, "No, we're going to say what we got to say." So they're trying to scare all the people that were listening on the wall. So when this is the situation. And then Hezekiah goes to the Lord. Please stop doing this. Verse 15 of Isaiah 37. Then Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God, you alone, of all the kingdoms on the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear all the words of the king of Syria, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations in their lands. They have cast their gods into the fire. For they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord, our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of earth may know that you are the Lord, you alone. So in a moment of national crisis, Hezekiah prayed to the Lord. He also prayed for himself when he was suffering from a fatal illness. idea what would happen if I just took this out?
Did you say
the No, it's coming off of the... I'll give it one more shot. After that, we're going to have to go without. So, do you think I can just drag it over there, Nick? Sorry, technical difficulties. Yeah. Thank you, sir. Sorry about that. Okay. So let's see, where am I? So Hezekiah had a sickness, he had an illness that was fatal and it was going to kill him. And we can read about this back in 2 Kings in chapter 20. Verse 1, in those days Hezekiah was sick and near death, and Isaiah the prophet went to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." Thanks. Then he turned his face towards the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, "Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and have done what was good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And it happened, before Isaiah had gone out of the middle of the court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord God of David your father, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add to your days 15 years." In my research and studying this out, it's suggested by many commentaries that this sickness unto death and the Assyrian army surrounding Jerusalem was all probably within a really short time of each other. So it was a case of when it rains, it pours type of thing. You got the Syrian army coming down the road. You're suffering terribly. And from a sickness, it's about to, and God's prophet comes in and says, "You're going to die. You're not going to survive." So back in Isaiah, the actual words of Hezekiah are written. We are recorded for us as to what he says about this. Isaiah 38 verses 9 through 22 says, "This is the writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and had recovered from his sickness. I said, in the prime of my life I shall go to the gate of Sheol. I am deprived of the remainder of my years. I said, I shall not see Yah, the Lord, in the land of the living. I shall observe man no more among the inhabitants of the world. My lifespan is gone, taken from me like a shepherd's tent. I have cut off my life like a weaver. He cuts me off from the loom from day until night. You make an end of me. I have considered until morning like a lion, so he breaks all my bones. From day until night you make an end of me. Like a crane or a swallow, so I chattered. I mourn like a dove, my eye is frail from looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. Explanation point. My wife says when I get sick, I'm a big baby. So next time that happens, I'm going to read this and see, I'm not that bad. What shall I say? He has spoken, both spoken to me and himself has done it. I shall walk carefully all my years in the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So you will restore me and make me live. Indeed, it has for my own peace that I had great bitterness, but you have longingly delivered my soul from the pit of corruption, for you have cast all my sins behind your back. For Sheol cannot thank you, death cannot praise you. Those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your truth. The living man, he shall praise you, as I do this day. The Father shall make known your truth to the children. The Lord was ready to save me, therefore we shall sing my songs with stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. Now Isaiah had said unto him, take a lump of figs and apply it to as a poultice to the boil, and you shall recover. So we can see that he was a praying man. The other thing we can see about Hezekiah is he sought out and listened to God's word as through God's prophet Isaiah. Isaiah was the prophet of God at this time in Judah, and he lived in, what I understand, he lived in Jerusalem. And the Bible records for us some of the interactions they had. One interaction is the king of Assyria, as I alluded to earlier, sent three messengers to Jerusalem, threatened, promises, belittles Jerusalem, and Isaiah sent messengers to, Hezekiah sent messengers to Isaiah, and Isaiah says, thus says the Lord. Isaiah tells them that the city will not fall to this king. Second Kings 19 records this for us. Then he sent three people to Isaiah the prophet, and they said to him, thus says Hezekiah, this is a day of trouble and rebuke and blasphemy, for the children have come to birth, but there is no strength to bring them forth. And Isaiah said to the servant of King Hezekiah, Thus you shall say to your master, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid of the words which you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Syria have blasphemed me. Surely I will send a spirit upon them. They shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. The messengers of the king of Syria returned to the king, and they found him that he was distracted by another battle and left Jerusalem alone. That doesn't mean that they didn't forget about Jerusalem, because after the messengers went away, the king of Assyria sent a written letter basically saying the same thing. Just because I'm not bothering you now doesn't mean I'm not going to come back. 2 Kings 19:32, Isaiah says to Hezekiah, therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor bring a siege mound against it. By the way he came, he shall return, and he shall not come into the city, says the Lord. For I will defend this city, I will save it for my own sake, and for my servant David's sake. The Lord did defend Jerusalem, and then one night an angel of the Lord killed 185,000 soldiers that were surrounding Jerusalem. The king of Assyria went back. There's there's a timeline thing going on. Some things that are read from this verse to the time he was actually killed by his own sons was 20 years. But the long and short of it was he went back shamefaced to his own country because he could not defeat Jerusalem. That was the only thing at the height of the Assyrian kingdom. There was this tiny little dot in Israel that was free, and that was Jerusalem. And no matter what they did, they could not defeat Jerusalem. So this king went back to Nineveh, and he was killed there by his own sons, just as the Lord promised. The other thing we can see is Hezekiah was a man of action. In 2 Chronicles 32, we can read, when Hezekiah saw that the king of Assyria had come and that his purpose was to make war against Jerusalem, he consulted with his leaders and commanders to stop the water from the springs which were outside the city, and they helped him. Thus many people gathered together, and we stopped all the springs and the brook that ran through the land, saying, why should the king of Assyria come and find much water? He strengthened himself and built up the wall which was broken and raised it to the towers. He built another wall outside, and he also repaired the Milo in the city of David and made weapons and shields in abundance. He encouraged his people by saying, be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed before the king of Assyria, or before all the multitude that was with him. There are more with us than with him. So, King Hezekiah, you can actually, if you went to Jerusalem today, you can actually go through this tunnel that he built. He built a tunnel underground to a spring outside the wall and diverted all the water into a pool inside the walls. It's called Hezekiah's Tunnel to this day. These walls he built up, he more than doubled the size of Jerusalem within the walls as part of his building up the walls. So, so he built up and fortified the walls, some that were broken down or lower than others. And he is famous for building a tunnel and diverting water into the city. What was interesting was they did some excavation, or they found this tunnel and they found some inscriptions on it, and they built this tunnel from both ends. So our modern day equivalent would be the tunnel between France and England, where they started on both ends and met in the middle. Imagine doing that with a pickaxe and hammers and tools of iron. So it was considered a great engineering feat. So, now that's what we can learn about Hezekiah from 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles and Isaiah. And today, now I want to look at Hezekiah's reign, the good and the bad. First of all, back in 2 Chronicles chapter 29, we see that he immediately cleans up the temple and reestablishes temple worship. I've already read verses 3 through 5. And if you want to follow along, I'll pick it up in verse 10. Now, this is the first month of his first year. So this is straight out of the gate. He became king and immediately goes and cleans up the temple. And he's telling the Levites and the priests, now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, that you should minister him, and to burn and to burn incense. As part of this restoring temple worship, he was first in line. Verse 20, then King Hezekiah rose early and gathered the rulers of the city and went up to the house of the Lord. And they bought 7 bulls, 7 rams, 7 lambs, 7 male goats for sin offering for the kingdom, for the sanctuary, and for Judah. So he basically set up, he had the temple fixed, cleaned up, and reinstated temple worship. After the first round of priests and Levites had consecrated themselves, he set up, he kept the Passover. He started the Passover again and sent invites to come to the Passover throughout the entire nation of Judah and the entire kingdom of Israel. This is recorded for us in 2 Chronicles 30, verse 1. And Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah, and also wrote letters to Ephraim and Manasseh, that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover to the Lord God of Israel. For the king and his leaders and all the assembly in Jerusalem had agreed to keep the Passover in the second month. For they could not keep it at the regular time because a sufficient number of priests could not be consecrated themselves, nor had the people gathered in Jerusalem. And the matter pleased the king and all the assembly. So they resolved to make a proclamation throughout all Israel, from Beersheba to Dan, that they should come to keep the Passover to the Lord God of Israel at Jerusalem, since they had not done it for a long time in the prescribed manners. Then the runners went throughout all Israel and Judah with the letters from the king and his leaders, and spoke according to the command of the king. So these runners went throughout both kingdoms, and sometimes they were laughed at and told to go away, but in the end, many, many people, and a lot of them from the kingdom of Israel, showed up. Verse 13. Now many people, a very great assembly, gathered at Jerusalem to keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread in the second month. They arose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem, and they took all the way the incense altars and cast them in the brook Kidron. Then they slaughtered the Passover lambs in the 14th day of the second month. Drop down to verse 22. And Hezekiah gave encouragement to all the Levites who taught the good knowledge of the Lord. And they ate throughout the feast 7 days, offering peace offerings and making confession to the God our their fathers. This is what I find interesting. So he sets up the Passover. They kept it for 7 days. And then the whole assembly agreed to keep the feast for another 7 days. Now, I don't know if this is the Feast of Unleavened Bread or the Passover. But they kept the fest for they kept it for another 7 days with gladness. And the reason they could do this, in verse 24, for Hezekiah, the king of Judah, gave to this assembly 1,000 bulls and 7,000 sheep, and the leaders gave to the assembly 1,000 bulls and 10,000 sheep, and a great number of priests sanctified themselves. So King Hezekiah not only reinstituted the Passover, but he also donated huge amounts of livestock to keep it going. Hezekiah is, as we saw in 2 Kings 18, he is credited with removing idol worship from Judah. Now, the reason I say he is credited with removing idol worship from Judah is because in my study, I never found him giving a command. But he is credited because if we look at 2 Chronicles 31, verse 1, right on the heels of this Passover feast or this Feast of Unleavened Bread that went for an extra 7 days, Now when all this was finished, all Israel who were present went out of the cities of Judah and broke the sacred pillars in pieces and cut down the wooden images and threw down the high places and altars from all Judah, Benjamin, Ephraim, and Manasseh until they were utterly destroyed, had utterly destroyed them all. Then all the children of Israel returned to their own cities, every man to his own possession. So Hezekiah is credited with removing idol worship, but again, I never saw him command it. Just the people that had attended the Passover just went and did it by themselves. But the end result is all the high places were removed. They broke down the sacred pillars. They cut down the wooden images. And they broke to pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made, and it was being worshipped at that time. So I thought this was very interesting, how Hezekiah didn't actually, it doesn't say that he commanded these things be done. The people just went and did it by themselves. So he started, was very instrumental, and starting a religious revival in Judah and in Jerusalem. And this was the natural result of it. Along the same lines, he did command that the priests and the Levites be supported by the population so they could devote themselves to the law. Second Chronicles 31:4 says, Moreover, he, Hezekiah, commanded the people who dwelt in Jerusalem to contribute support for the priests and the Levites that they may devote themselves to the law of the Lord. Interestingly enough about this, when he commanded this, the people of Jerusalem started bringing their stuff in support of the priests and the Levites. There was so much of it that it was piled up in the streets outside of the temple. And then, so in order to take care of this huge pile of goods that was for the priests and the Levites, King Hezekiah sent some people in charge, and they found out who were the priests. They looked up the records and genealogies, and who were the priests and who were the Levites, and from the age of 3 up, they were now being supported by the population because there was so much of it that it was just clogging up the streets. I thought about this, you know, if I was one of these residents of Jerusalem and I walk up with my gift for the priests and Levites and there's a mountain of goods already, would I leave the gift or would I turn around and just walk home? Either way, there was so much of it that if you were a Levite or you were a son of Aaron and you were 3 years old, you were supported by the population so that you could devote yourself to the law. Unfortunately, Hezekiah, all these things are great. Hezekiah is a human and he did screw up. He showed off all that he had to a foreign envoy. And this is recorded for us in 2 Chronicles. This is after he had recovered miraculously, after he had defeated the king of Assyria went away shamefaced, and he discovered immaculately. 2 Chronicles 32:25 says this about this situation. But Hezekiah did not repay according to the favor shown him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore, the wrath was looming over him, over Judah and Jerusalem. 2 Kings 20:12-19 talks about this. And at the time, so-and-so, the king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And Hezekiah was attentive to them and showed them all the house of his treasures, the silver and the gold, the spices and the precious ointment, and all his armory. All that was found among his treasures, there was nothing in his house and all his dominion that Hezekiah did not show them. Then Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah and said to him, what did these men say and from where did they come from? And so Hezekiah said, they come from a far country, from Babylon. And he said, what have they seen in your house? So Hezekiah answered, they have seen all that is in my house, and there's nothing among my treasures that I will not show them. This is the first mention of the fact that Babylon will be involved with the taking away of Judah. And Hezekiah said, Isaiah said to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and what your fathers have accumulated unto this day shall be carried to Babylon, and nothing shall be left. And they shall, says the Lord, and they shall take away some of your sons who will descend from you, whom you will beget, and they will be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. This foreign envoy shows up, kind of probably says some really nice things to Hezekiah, and Hezekiah had just experienced an amazing victory, and he got proud. And he started showing off to this small foreign envoy of this small kingdom way far away. In Hezekiah's day, Babylon was not even on the map as to being an enemy of Judah. It was actually probably considered friends trying to fight Assyria. Assyria was the world power at this time, and the Assyrians were the ones that Hezekiah was keeping an eye on. So here comes this Babylonian envoy, and he doesn't even think twice about him, about sharing stuff that he shouldn't have. Isaiah, it said in Isaiah that when Isaiah prophesied this, even though it wouldn't come to pass for another 120 years, that Isaiah had some real trouble with this. And again, this is the first time it's mentioned that Babylon will be involved with the discipline of the nation of Judah. So, in conclusion, as we looked at Hezekiah, the most faithful king of Judah, we looked at his life. His story is recorded for us in 2 Kings, 2 Chronicles, and Isaiah. And we saw that he was a good king because he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. He fastened himself to, he clung to the Lord. He did not lose heart or get weary, but he started faithful and he stayed faithful throughout his entire life. We saw that he knew the law and he kept the commandments. We saw that he was a praying man and that he prayed to the Lord in times of trouble, both for himself and for others and his entire nation. He immediately started a religious revival in Jerusalem by reinstating temple worship. And we saw that though he was not perfect, and he did have a little slip up by showing off to the envoy, but overall, he sought out and listened to the word of the Lord spoken through Isaiah. He built some stuff that we can still see today if we go to Jerusalem, tunnels and pools and walls. And all these things are true about Hezekiah. The Bible tells us that the author of 2 Kings considers Hezekiah in a class by himself when it comes to trusting in the Lord God of Israel. Again, 2 Corinthians 18:5, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel so that after him there was none like him among all the kings of Judah. So as we look at this example, because we know that though all the Bible is written for us, is not written to us, the Old Testament is full of examples. My challenge to you is, how can we be like Hezekiah? And can it be said about you, to your family and friends, can they say about you, she trusted in the Lord. They were the most trust. They trusted in the Lord he or she trusted in the Lord like nobody I've ever known before and after. Today, as believers in the church age, we have all the tools at our disposal. We have the completed Word of God, which is full of examples, such as Hezekiah. We have the power supply. We have the Holy Spirit residing in us. We have a local church designed and built up by Christ with pastor teachers to teach us what the Bible says and how it applies to us in everyday life. We can be like Hezekiah because we have everything we need to live a godly life, and we can have the same mindset that he had. So what was the mindset that pervaded Hezekiah's life? 2 Chronicles 31:20-21 says this, summed up, he sought his God with his whole heart. Verse 20 says, thus Hezekiah did throughout all of Judah, and he did what was good and right and true before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in service of the house of the God, in law and in commandment, to seek his God, he did it with all his heart. So he prospered. So thus Hezekiah was considered by the writer of 2 Kings to be the most faithful king of Judah. Now, in a side note, doing this study, if you turn in your Bible to 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 25 says, now before him there was no king like him who turned to the Lord God, to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, nor after him did any arise like him. So if you're confused, so was I. This is in reference to Hezekiah's grandson, King Joash, Josiah, and King Hezekiah's son, who took over after Hezekiah passed away and reigned for 55 years, was a bad king. He got rid of temple worship. He installed idol worship. So here comes Hezekiah's grandson come along. He became king at 8 years old. And for the first 18 years of his reign, he followed in the steps of his grandfather and father, who were both bad kings. This is the story, if you remember, that they found the book of the law in the temple after they were cleaning it up. And when Josiah heard the book of the law, he immediately turned to the Lord with a vengeance and used his authority as king to lead the kingdom of Judah in a religious revival. Hezekiah has the title of, there was none, he trusted in the Lord, and there was none before or after, because there was no time gap. He started faithful and he stayed faithful from the start all the way to the end. So I thought this study, this phrase in verse 5 that caught my eye, and my curiosity got piqued, and I'm glad I did this study, and I found it very interesting, and I hope you did too. With that, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for this story of King Hezekiah and the example that you have recorded for us. And we saw that his mindset and the heart he had is he trusted you, he clung unto you, he pursued after you, he did not alter, and he did it from the very get-go all the way through to the end of his life. Thus he has the title the most faithful king of Judah. Just thank you for Hezekiah and his willingness to obey your commandments and trust you in the example that he gives to us. In Jesus' name, amen.